This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Kenneth Higgins used to say something in his conferences that if we close now, we would have said we have learned something. I mean, I'm sure we've all been impacted so far. But we are taking it to another gear. All right? As we step into the first session this evening, and we are glad to have in the house a friend of the house. All right, so I need to tell you people a short story. I'm sure you've seen that my mother was 90 on December 29th. She was 90 years old on the 29th of December. So last year, she called me after Wolfberg. She said, I didn't see my friend in the meeting. I said, who is your friend? Say. I didn't see my friend. I said, who is your friend? Who do you know in the meeting that is your friend? He said, that tall guy from America. I said, which tall guy from America is your friend? He said, I like him. I didn't see him. I like him. I said, you listen? I said, yeah. He speaks very well. I was really blessed by him. I said, all right, Mom, you'll see him next day. Yeah? You'll see him next day. All right. Pastor Kian Anderson is no stranger to this house. All right. He's one day I listened to a story he told about how he was treated in the first church that he was in. And I realized that he was a man of immense depth. Immense depth. When I listened to what he said. Immense depth and spiritual maturity. In fact, the wisdom that he operates with, if you understand what I'm saying, comes across like African native intelligence. You know how we have native intelligence in Africa? You know, we know how to respect people, be honorable, not get offended. You know, that depth of And I found it to be with him. He's a man that speaks across board in the United States of America. And I think the first time he came here, I said this the first time I listened to him, and I'll say it again, that one of the things, and this kind of thing we're talking about, you may have strongholds in your mind because of the fact that we are colonized as a nation. We seemed to only have responded to African Americans that we saw preaching on platforms, Caucasian platforms. That's just the way that we saw them in their magazines. We felt, all right, we could invite these people to Africa. And we somehow missed out on the experience of the black church in the United States of America. When I heard him speak, that's something that just dawned on me, that it looks like We did not look in the direction of the black church there. When I say the black church, people that came out of the African-American churches, only people that associated with Caucasians that we were listening to, that we began to open up. And I did say then that him speaking here will open up the door between a relationship between Nigeria and the black church in America. And with that, he's here with his lovely wife, Shawnee. All right. Let's bring up to the podium for his first session at Wolfberg 2024, Pastor Kian Anderson.
How's everybody doing today? Can you all hear me?
Yes.
How's everybody doing today? I want you to praise God for your leader as he leaves the stage. I So every year I've come, he's had a suit on. And the one year I wear a suit, he goes back to a t-shirt. So I never know what to do with this guy. And I told my wife, Pastor Poju wears a suit every year. I said, this year I'm going to wear a suit every session and dress like him. And he has on sandals, pants, and a t-shirt. Come on and praise God for one of the greatest leaders. The reason why I have you praising God for him, I don't know if you know it, and sometimes you don't know how great a thing is because it's around you, but not only is he a pastor, but he's an immense thought leader, a tremendous business mind, and an exceptional leader, all wrapped into one person. And when I looked online and saw how many people you all had at the crossover service, just the immense amount of faith it takes to do that. So those of you all who are part of Covenant Nation and those who are part of this conference, we thank God for him. And then obviously, he listens to the women in his life because his wife told him to bring me the first time. His mother told him to bring me back. Thank God for his obedience. Can you praise God for Mama Toya? And come on and praise God for Pastor Toya. We love you. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. And my wife is here with me. We praise God for my wife. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. We'll probably try to preach the next session. The Lord gave me a word, and I want to teach it from the gospel according to Luke chapter 21. Excuse me, chapter 2, verse 21. Luke chapter 2, verse 21. And I'll spare you reading it all. But this is the text where Jesus is circumcised. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 21, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was, everybody say, Jesus. Which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. The next verse says, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it was written in the law that every firstborn male should be, and to offer a sacrifice to what is specified in the law of the Lord. And listen to what the gift was. Mary and Joseph came and brought two pigeons or two turtle doves as a offering to the Lord. Thus is the reading of the word of God. Let us pray. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon us. It's once again that we come asking for your permission to preach. Bread of heaven, feed us until we want no more. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. So I was reading an article on my way here today, and it said that Nigerians spent 196% of its income on Christmas gifts. I hope you heard what I just said. The average Nigerian spent 196% of their income on Christmas gifts. That means that the average Nigerian spent double the amount of money they made in a month trying to make kids happy that wasn't even happy after Christmas was over. You brought them the toys, you brought them the clothes, whatever you got them, and they still got an attitude problem. Still talk back. We spend a lot of money on Christmas. And in the States, I don't know how it is here, but in the States, Christmas is starting earlier and earlier. Have you seen that? Where normally the Christmas tree goes up right around Thanksgiving, it seems like now people are putting the Christmas tree up on Valentine's Day. It's like earlier and earlier and earlier We're celebrating Christmas and we're spending billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars on gifts for people who don't even like us. On gifts to people who didn't even give us a gift back in return. We spend all the time shopping, ordering online, going to the mall, going to the department store, going here and going there, buying all of these Christmas gifts. And we spend so much money and so much time. We put up Christmas trees and we have all night Christmas parties. And we wake up in the morning and we open the gifts. And we have family traditions and we have dinners and breakfasts. We have all of these things surrounding Christmas. And we lead up October, November, December. We lead up September, October, November, December, all the way to the 25th of December. And then it seems as if the day after Christmas, it's all over. Literally right now, today being the 3rd of January, we're only 8 or 9 days away from Christmas. And I don't know about you, but it feels like it was a month ago. Do you feel that? Like literally you just had Christmas wrapping all in the floor. Literally you just had a tree in the corner. Literally you just had everybody over singing, "Oh come let us adore him." And the church was in the Christmas spirit. And then all of a sudden the day after Christmas, or here we are at WAFBEC 2024. It's almost as if Christmas was 3 months ago. Because we spent all of this time building up for Christmas. And then we get to the day of his birth. And then it's all over. Then it's all over. It's as if nothing ever happened. And as a minister of the gospel, I have to tell you that I get this question all the time. People always say to me, you know, what day was Jesus born on? Okay, how do we know he was born on the 25th? In fact, my wife asked me this question about 2 or 3 weeks ago. She said, "Babe, why do we celebrate Jesus' birthday on the 25th of December?" And I looked at her with all of my intelligentsia and I looked her right in the face and said, "I don't know. I don't know. And the truth is, nobody knows. Okay, why do we celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December? Because Sextus Africanus, who was an old philosopher, said that the Holy Spirit told him that Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit on the 25th of March. And if you take 9 months from the 25th of March, you get December 25th. That is the reason why we celebrate Christmas on the 25th, because we hear in folklore from times past that Mary was impregnated by the Holy Spirit on the 25th. Now, all of the fellas in the house, all of the men in the house, how would you behave if your wife came home and told you she was pregnant and it was the Holy Ghost's baby? I can see some of the fellas in the room like that. Don't even play with me like that. That's why we celebrate it on the 25th. There's another theory that even says that Jesus was born in the springtime. We don't know what day Jesus was born on, but what we do know for sure is that 8 days after he was born, he was circumcised. We don't know if he was born in January. We don't know if he was born in February. We don't know if he was born on your birthday. Possibly he was. But what we know for sure is that 8 days after he was born, he was cut. Now, why was he cut? The reason he was cut is because God woke Abraham up one day and said to Abraham, he says, "I am going to," and this is key, "I am going to give you a covenant through the flesh." Everybody say, "Through the flesh." He says, "I'm going to give you a covenant through the flesh, and I want you to circumcise all of the males. All of the Jewish males, I want you to circumcise all of them on the eighth day." And what do we find out? He circumcises Isaac on the eighth day. We don't have biblical evidence, but we can assume that Jacob was circumcised on the eighth day, and all of the 12 sons of Jacob were circumcised on the eighth day. Not only were they circumcised, the Bible says that Abraham was 90 years old when he circumcised his son. Not only did he circumcise his son at 90 years old, he turned around and circumcised himself at 90 years old. Now, all of the men, did you all hear all the men say, ooh? Because at 90 years old, he circumcises himself and he's willing to go through the pain because of the covenant that God had for him. Now, I'm talking about time and I'm talking about circumcision, and I don't even feel comfortable talking about time and God in the same sentence, because even though God put himself in time, time cannot encapsulate him. You do understand that even though he was born, he was already alive when he was born. God is the only human who was never born yet was born. He's the only human who was, is, and is to come. He's the only human that never started but always began. He's the only human that began before the beginning began but never ended, but always was, never shall be, but always will be. This is the God that we serve. That God was in Nigeria October 1st, 1960, when you were granted your emancipation. And he was also at Wafbeck 2024 before the meeting was ever happened. Why? Because God is never anywhere. He's always everywhere. And let me tell you something about God. God doesn't go anywhere. God is currently still in 1960. And he's already in 2035. He's everywhere at the same time. It's the isness of God. It's the reason why in the book of John chapter 8, when the men came to Jesus and said to him, who are you? Who do you think you are? We are the sons of Abraham. We've never been slaves. We are the descendants of Abraham. And God came up to them with all the boldness in the world and said, did you not know that I'm Abraham's daddy? Before Abraham was, I am. It is the isness of God. Everybody say isness. That means that God always is. He's a very present help in the time of storm. He's everywhere at the same time. One author said that God is so big that if he turned around, he'd bump into himself. One writer said that God is so big that he has the world in his pocket. God is so big that he can't get over himself. He's so wide that he cannot get around himself. He's so deep that he cannot go under himself. And yet, when he became man, he was 100% God. Never had to stop being God to become man. Never had to stop being man to become God. Skip through 42 generations. Put himself in the womb of a woman he created, and then let a woman he created birth him and allow her to make her think that she created him. Made sure that she picked a daddy who would have to go to the city where the census was taken, which so happens to be the city that he had to be born in. Look at God. I'm telling you all of this because you may be trying to figure out what is the rest of your year going to look like. I'm going to tell you right now, believers of God, we don't fight for victory. We fight from victory. And your victory has already been assigned to you by God. God is already in the future waiting on you to be obedient and show up so that he can bless you. And I speak to every person in this room today who either paid the registration or who flew on airplanes, who came in cars and automobiles, who showed up for this meeting. God told me to tell you that there is a victory that is coming out of this week that you have never had in your life, and there is a miracle that is going to rest on your household that has never rested on your household before. And I prophesy in the mighty and magnificent name of Jesus that this is your year of jubilee, and you're going to get more out of this year than you've ever gotten out of any year in your life. If you believe it, shout amen. So the reason that I'm preaching this today is that God tells Abraham, this is why I had to be circumcised. He says, because I did not come to abolish the law. I came to do what? I came to fulfill the law. Do you know that every cut, that every betrayal, that every opportunity in your life is an opportunity for you to become who you're supposed to be, but it doesn't happen just because you were born. It happens after you've been cut. The Bible says on the day he was cut, he was named Jesus. Watch this. Because you don't even know who you are until you've been cut. You don't even know who you are until you've had to lead and bleed at the same time. You don't even know who you are until you thought you had a friend who turned their back on you. You don't know who you are until you've been in a marriage that almost broke you psychologically, but you found a way to wake up and stay in it. You don't even know who you are until you, after you suffered a while, after you suffered, everybody say suffer. If there is no struggle, there is no progress. You've got to go through the valley of the shadow of death. You have to be betrayed. You have to understand that God, listen, does not work through your friends. He works through your enemies. Let me prove it to you. How many of y'all remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And the Bible says that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and who was there with him? A man named Peter. How many of y'all remember Peter was there with him? What happens? The men come into the garden, and Peter takes out his knife, and he wants to protect Jesus. He cuts a man's ear off. Jesus puts the man's ear back on, and Jesus looks at Satan, the man who protected him, and looks at, Peter, and says to him, Satan, get thee behind me. Meanwhile, there's another man named Judas who is coming to betray him. And the Bible says Jesus sees him off from a distance and he yells at Judas and says, whatever you came to do, friend, do it quickly. You must understand that your friends are not the people you like. A friend is somebody who helps you get to the cross. You've been thanking all of the wrong people in your life. You've been thanking the people who like you. You've been thanking the people who are partial towards you. You've been thanking the people who've been helping you. And God says, I'm not going to use the people you like to get you to the next level. I'm going to use the people who don't like you. So that way, when you get there, you won't rely on their relationships, but you will rely on my covenant with you. Somebody say, rely on God. So watch this. I don't know if you understand this. It took me a while to get it, but I didn't know that the number 8 meant something more than new beginnings. I never knew that. When I looked up the word number 8, it also means to cover in fat. It means to have super abundance. So when God says that he was circumcised on the 8th day, and the number 8 means new beginnings. Scientists say that there was no more perfect time for Jesus to be circumcised because a baby's ability to fight off infection and blood clotting capabilities are at its highest at 8 days. Now, what are we saved through? We're saved through what? The blood of Jesus. Anybody know that? We're saved through the blood of Jesus. And so most times, and I've preached this, that when Jesus Christ died on the cross and he began to shed the blood, then my soul was saved. But when I look at the text, if I am saved by the blood of Jesus, then I'm thanking God, not just for the cross, I'm thanking him for circumcision. Because the first time we see Jesus bleed in the Bible is not at 33 years old on the cross. The first time we see Jesus bleed in the Bible is on the 8th day. We see him bleeding at the circumcision, and now we have a God who is cutting away the foreskin. Now, we know enough about circumcision to be offended by it in the physical, but not enough to be excited about it in the spiritual, because cutting away the flesh meant now you and I get a chance to go to heaven, because no more are we having to be circumcised in the flesh to go to heaven. Now we are saved by grace. And so now Jesus becomes the one and for all sacrifice to make sure that when you and I speak, we can speak to mountains and they can go out into the sea. Are you with me so far? So now when we look at the text, now it's time to get into it. I want you to look at this. Everybody say the number 8. Say it again, the number 8. I want you to know that there are 8 writers in the New Testament. I want you to know that 8 is the number of new beginnings. I want you to know that when the world was destroyed, God repopulated the earth with how many people? 8 people. And if you look at the sign for infinity, look at it. It's in the shape of a number 8. Which means, and I prophesy, you are 8 days away from a miracle. Yeah. I don't know who this is for. I don't know who this is for. The word of the Lord, he told me to tell you, some of you all were talking about, well, I just hope I get it this year. I just hope it comes by December. Oh, I'm going to get a raise by January 5th. I'm going to get it by July. God told me to speak to Wafbeck and tell you that in 8 days, there's a turnaround coming to your life. I dare you, slap 8 people and tell them a turnaround. You got the wrong 8 people. I want you to find somebody who looks like they got the Holy Spirit. I want you to find somebody who has a smile on their face. I want you to find somebody who looks like they're ready for the glory of the Lord and tell them a turnaround. A turnaround is coming to your house. A turnaround is coming to your business. A turnaround is coming to your health. A turnaround is coming to your mind. A turnaround is coming to your family. Turn around. In fact, I wish I could get 8 people to stand up and turn around. Say, neighbor, do you want to know why I'm turning around? It's because every time I turn around, God blesses me. Oh, you missed it. Find you another neighbor. Say, neighbor, every time I turn around, he keeps on blessing me. Turn around. It's a turnaround coming to your money. A turnaround coming to your marriage. A turnaround coming to your mind. Everybody shout, turn around. Watch this. In 8 days, people are going to look at you and say, what happened to you? And you're going to tell them, I went to Wafbeck and I listened to that preacher that the pastor's mama had to tell to come back. And he told me 8 days, and all of a sudden stuff started to happen. In 8 days, you're going to see a change of behavior in your child. In 8 days, your husband is going to have an epiphany with God. In 8 days, your wife is going to be on another level. In 8 days, you're going to have money opportunities. In 8 days, you're going to have business. I'll feel the Holy Ghost. In 8 days, things are going to... I feel glory in this section over here. I see people turning around over here while I'm talking. There's a turnaround in this section. Somebody shout, turn around. Watch this. And this is why this is important. Jesus is circumcised. But Mary is also cut too. Mary has just had a baby. In fact, your baby may have been 10 pounds, but Jesus was the biggest baby ever born. Nobody has ever given birth to a baby bigger than Jesus. So Mary is cut and bleeding while she's carrying something that's cut and bleeding. And this is why most people can never be great, is because they don't have the ability to focus on anybody else's cut except for theirs. Mary has to be mature enough to look after her cut and her son's cut. And she's carrying him, but she can barely carry herself. She's bleeding and he's bleeding. He's in pain and she's in pain. But she knows that she's been told to do something that nobody else can do. And she's holding something that nobody else can hold. Did you know that you're the only one who can hold what you have? This is why you should never try to be anybody else. The only person God ever assigned you to be is yourself. Why would you water yourself down because people can't handle you at 100 proof? God will never bless who you pretend to be. He can only bless who you actually are. And Mary is carrying the light of the world. She's carrying healing while she's hurting. But she's not allowed to go into the temple for 40 days. You know why? Because she had to wait until the moment of purification. She wasn't allowed to go into the temple. And here is the spiritual implication. The spiritual implication is, God says, you have to be careful when you bring yourself around people and you're still open. You have to be careful when you bring yourself around people and you're still wounded. You shouldn't get into a relationship until you healed from the last one. You shouldn't get in ministry until you healed from the last church hurt. See, most of us get close to people and don't recognize that our sharpness in our wounds causes other people's wounds because we get into things before we get healed. And she's carrying the baby, not realizing that in a minute, the baby's going to be carrying her. This is Mary. Everybody say Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. And they are on their way to the temple. I want you to get this. Now, this is her firstborn child. They will eventually have more, but this is her firstborn child. Listen to this. There is a reason why the firstborn child has to be separate and set apart. If you go back to the Old Testament, remember when God told Pharaoh to let the people go? And he sent 10 plagues. What was the last plague? The death of the firstborn. The death of the firstborn. And what would happen? What would happen? Well, the death angel would go and kill the firstborn in every house. But the family who applied the blood to the doorpost, the death angel would pass over that house. Do you not know that there are some demons, warlocks, and devils that are coming directly toward you? But because you are covered in the blood of Jesus, the enemy's attack has to pass over you. You don't have any idea how many things the blood has saved you from. Oh, no. I'm talking about cancer. I'm talking about heart attacks. I'm talking about brain aneurysms. I'm talking about diabetes. I'm talking about all manner of sickness. I'm talking about generational curses. It is not happening because you're perfect. It's happening because you're covered by the blood of Jesus. Somebody shout, I'm covered by the blood. Somebody say it, I'm covered by the blood. So Mary and Joseph are actually going to the temple. Are you listening to me? They're going to the temple. And when they go to the temple, they have to offer two offerings. The Bible says that they ought to bring two doves, two pigeons or two turtle doves. One writer calls it the poor man's offering. So, but here's the offering that's required. The offering that is required at the temple is one lamb and one pigeon. Mary and Joseph don't have a lot of money, so there was a law that said if you didn't have enough money to bring a lamb, you could do what? Bring two pigeons. So what does Mary and Joseph do? They take two pigeons, and they're getting ready to go to the temple. And when they get there, they get ready to offer their two pigeons. But they didn't realize something else was happening. Now, what did they have to bring? A lamb and a pigeon. They didn't have a lamb, so they brought two pigeons. I'm going to talk to this side. Somebody going to get it in a minute. So the offering that they needed to have was a lamb and a pigeon. They didn't think they had a lamb, so they brought two pigeons. But when they got to the sanctuary, the praise bell started going off because not only did they have a lamb, they had the lamb. And when they brought the lamb of God in the room, all of the angels in heaven start bowing and saying, holy, holy. Can I just prophesy to you today? I know you think that what you have isn't enough, but God told me to tell you, you already have what you need. Slap somebody, say, I already got my lamb. I'm already smart enough. I'm already anointed enough. I'm already powerful enough. I'm already brilliant enough. Can I get somebody in this
conference today to give God the glory because you already have what's needed. They had the Lamb of God. Somebody shout, holy is the Lamb. Here they are thinking they don't have enough. And here they are talking about we got to bring a lamb, not knowing they're already carrying the lamb. And here you are wondering and whining and crying about your two pigeons, and you already have the lamb in your hands. Africa, if you ever recognize you already have the lamb. You already have the lamb. The entire world knows that this continent is more nutrient rich and more material rich than any nation on earth. But you don't know you have the lamb. They've taught us to hate our own skin color. But you already have the lamb. You're under a brilliant leader who thinks and teaches. He's years ahead. In the future, if you'd follow the advice that he's given, you'd recognize that God has already given you the lamb. It's not the two pigeons. It's the lamb. I'm going to finish with this because, Pastor Toyin, when I saw this, this blew my entire mind. So, have you ever asked yourself, who in the world was the man who hath the nerve to cut Jesus? Listen, if I was the priest on duty that day and they said, you got to cut him, I'm like, oh, no, 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 no. I'm not cutting Jesus. If you go and find out in the Bible who he is, you know you don't cut that guy. Now, I'm not going to cut Jesus. But have you ever thought, who was the man that had to take the blade out and cut the flesh of Jesus? Go back and read the Bible. Read the entire chapter. The Bible says it was a man named Simeon. This blew my mind. A man named Simeon. Now, Pastor Posey, you might find this interesting. I'm sure you've preached this a million times. But Simeon, does that name ring a bell to anybody? Simeon is one of the sons of Jacob. Not only is he one of the sons of Jacob, but he is one of the two sons that did not get the inheritance. Why? Because the men in Shechem in Genesis chapter 4 raped his sister Dinah, and he and his brother Levi devised a plan to do what? Circumcise the men. Come here, church. So they circumcised the men. And because they are the only people who knew about circumcision, they knew that on the third day you would be most sore. So what did they do? They waited until the third day and attacked the men and killed them with swords because they knew that they were too sore from the circumcision. And so Jacob gets upset with him and says, you have embarrassed me and I am taking the inheritance of the promised land away from you because you use circumcision the wrong way. So he cursed Simeon because Simeon misused circumcision. I'm going to say it again. He cursed Simeon because Simeon misused circumcision. I'm going to say it third time's a charm. He told Simeon, I'm taking the promise from you because you misused circumcision. So Simeon misused circumcision and killed the men. And now Jesus in the New Testament is in the temple. And guess who gets to circumcise? Simeon. The same man who misused circumcision in the Old Testament is now given an opportunity to use circumcision the right way in the New Testament. God is telling me to tell you that no matter what mistake you made in your Old Testament, he's about to give you an opportunity to do it again in your New Testament. I want you to find three people and give them a high five and say, I'm in my New Testament. I'm in my New Testament. God's about to give me a chance to do it over again. God's about to give me a chance to redeem myself. God's about to give me an opportunity to redeem it. If you believe it, I want to give you, give God about 30 seconds of crazy praise. Oh, I can't hear nobody in here. I said, open up your mouth and give God glory. No matter what you've done in your Old Testament, and no matter how people look at you and they think they know you'll never make it because of the mistakes you made in your past, God says he has the last laugh. And every person who doubted you is going to have to look at you, get the opportunity that they wish they had. God's about to redeem you and give you a second chance, because we don't just serve a God of a second chance. We serve a God of another chance. I need everybody who's ever made a mistake and thought that God would never use you again, if you believe that God has the power to redeem you, I want you to give him 15 seconds of glory in this room. Come on, Wapak, I can't hear you. Second chance. Tell somebody, this is my second chance. This is my next opportunity to get it right. I'll never fail again. I'll never fall back again. It's my time. It's my season.
God's going to give you an opportunity to cut it right. Any carpenters in the room, they tell you, you should measure two or three times and cut once. But some of us in a hurry, we cut and then we cut. And God says, don't worry about it. I'm going to let it grow back so you can cut again. I'm going to give you, I know the last marriage didn't work, and I know you think you're not worthy of another one, but I'm going to send somebody right for you this time. I know the last job didn't work out and the last career path didn't work, but this is what I'm going to do this time. What I want you to know is you were so busy trying to work for somebody, but I created you to be an entrepreneur so people can work for you, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do it again. Do I have anybody excited about a second chance? Somebody shout a second chance. Somebody shout a second chance. I want you to find somebody and tell them a second chance. A second chance. It wasn't the first Adam, it was the second Adam. A second chance. Watch this, and I'm going to let you go. So Simeon gets an opportunity to do it over. He gets an opportunity to do it over. What would you do if you had a chance to do everything over? What would you do if God hit the reset button on your life and gave you an opportunity to go cut it right again? Who would you treat different if you got a second chance? What would you do at school if you had another chance? What would you do with your second opportunity? How many of y'all would just like to even ask God for another chance? Let me see your hand if you just want another chance to get it right. God sent me all the way from Houston, Texas, and set me right down in the middle of this meeting to tell you that today is your second chance. Today is your second opportunity. God says, I have hit the reset button on your life. And after this conference is over, every devil in hell is going to be nervous, because the devil thought he had defeated you, but he left you half dead. And God is going to use the half of your life that you got to create an opportunity for you to finish what he started. And he who has began a good work in you will establish it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, shout amen. I want
want you to go back and study this on your own time. When the clock strikes midnight on the first, we call it New Year's. The church of antiquity called it the Feast of Circumcision. Because every new year is God cutting away what didn't work. And you are 3 days into this new year. Some of you have already lost your fire. You said it all last week. Oh, 2024 is the year for more. And you're already tired 3 days in. Some of you have already broken your resolution. You said, I'm gonna do a Daniel fast, the first 21 days of the year. Today you said, well, a little chicken ain't gonna hurt. Everybody say reset. I want you to feel God pushing the reset button on your life. I want you to feel Him giving you another opportunity. And I hear in the spirit, the reset starts in 4 minutes and 30 seconds. That God is going to reset your life. He's going to reset your mind to a place where you won't even recognize yourself. You're going to respond differently. You're going to act differently. You're going to talk differently. You're going to move differently. You're going to hang around different people. You're going to feel uncomfortable around people you used to feel comfortable with. God says, I'm resetting the entire game. I'm resetting everything in your life. You got time for one more thing. So here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that his name was Simeon. And he was the man that had an opportunity to circumcise Jesus after he had miscircumcised the men of Shechem. Now fast forward, in these 8 days of the New Testament, he gets an opportunity. And the Bible says, this is in verse 25 and 26 of Luke chapter 2. Now there was a man in Jerusalem at the temple whose name was Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord. Can I tell you something? I know some of you all are afraid of it, but God told me to tell you, you can't die. You have too much left to do. You miss what I said. The enemy can't kill you. You got too much left to do. No weapon formed against you will prosper. You have too much left to do. No sickness or disease will take your body. You have too much left to do. You don't have to worry about your grandmother. She has too much left to do. You don't have to worry about your child. He or she has too much left to do. Tell somebody, you shall live and not die. Say it again. You shall live and not die. One last time. Say, you shall live and not die. I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to stand to your feet. You're standing next to somebody. If they could tell you the truth, they come to church, they dress up, they smile, they laugh, they joke. But inside, sometimes they don't even feel worthy of breath. They deal with insecurity. They deal with depression. They deal with stress. And you can't tell it because how many of you know we all got our persona? We always make it look like it's all good. They feel like all they have at their disposal is two pigeons. They don't know God has trusted them with the lamb. They feel like because they messed up in Shechem that they can't get it right in Jerusalem.
I want you to hold that hand. Squeeze it. I want you to squeeze that hand because I'm getting ready to prophesy to you. You know what you feel? That's not a regular person. That's a survivor. You don't know how much hell they went through just to get here today. You don't know what family dynamics they came through. Some of the people whose hands you hold, they had witches in the house when they were growing up. Christianity wasn't natural for them. They had to overcome witches and warlocks and hexes and soothsayers. They had to go through everything to get to Jesus. But I came to Jesus just as I am. I was weary, worn, and sad, but I found in him a resting place, and he has me. Squeeze that hand tighter. Squeeze it, because what I'm getting ready to do is I'm getting ready to make hell nervous, because one can chase 1,000. But two can put 10,000 to flight. And I'm looking in this room, it's got to be 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people in overflow. And all of you do the math. We could put every demon back in hell where they belong. But we can't do it one at a time. We've got to do it together. And like fire, I want you to begin to let your worship rise in this place today. Come on, open up your mouth and begin to speak in your heavenly language. Come on and open up your mouth. Come on, Covenant Nation, I can't hear you. Open up your mouth. One can chase 1,000. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Devil, the blood is against you. Satan, the blood is against you. Get your hand off of my son. Get your hand off of my daughter. Get your hand off of my spouse. Get your hand off of my mind, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Come on, I can't hear nobody. Come on, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. 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 From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, he's worthy to be praised. Now I want you to release that hand. And the Bible says that when we clap, we summons angels. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hold on, hold on. Y'all not clapping like I want you to clap like the devil's head is in between your hands. Come on. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, church. Your victory is in your pride. Yeah. Yeah. Do you want to know why I'm clapping? It's because I got another chance to get it right. I've got another chance to get the victory. I got another opportunity to get it the right way. Shout yeah! Yeah! All right. So look, I don't know who's preaching next. I don't know who's preaching in the morning. I know I'm preaching sometime, don't even know when. But from now until this conference is over, I want this place to be filled with the joy of the Lord. Come on and fill it up. I said fill it up. I said fill the room with the joy of the Lord. Thank you.
I know this is the early session. I know this is the early session, so my job is to lecture. Every time any minister, any preacher, anybody gives a talk on this stage, you can't get the breakthrough with an atmosphere with no sound. The devil trembles at the name of Jesus. So I don't care where you got to sleep. I don't care if you got to drink 5 cups of coffee. You wake yourself up and recognize that the second time for you to get it right is happening this week. I can't hear you. I can't hear y'all.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.